Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. Week of the Open Championship. And as we get ready towards that wonderful walk down St. Andrews, we begin two shows this week. Two! You get two shows. Today we got Ryan Ballantyne, his regular pre-major Monday slot coming up here in 5 minutes, a little less than 5 minutes, four and a half. Actually, four. And coming up tomorrow, Steve Hennessy, associate editor of Golf Digest, joins us to talk about the U.S. Open, the Open Championship, the new issue of Golf Digest that appropriately has Ricky Fowler on the cover. His Pebble Beach story, which is very interesting. Then I tell my Pebble Beach story, which a lot of you have not heard. So that'll be fun tomorrow right here at 6 o'clock Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. But this is Open Championship Week. Obviously, a lot at play there. We'll talk to Ryan Ballantyne about that in a moment. We got an interesting situation with the Home Run Derby that is having some potential weather issues in Cincinnati. We have not had a rained-out Home Run Derby since 1998. And the Home Run Derby, as some of you may know, has a new format this year, a timed format after they thought it was going on too long. But the good news for the folks out in Cincinnati is that the radar seems to be clear, so I think they're actually going to be okay, and we will have a Home Run Derby from the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. That comes up at 8 Eastern on ESPN with a new timed format trying to speed things along. There have been times in the Home Run Derby where, especially if a guy went on a run, it could go on and on and on. And the celebrity softball game that follows never really appeared in the slot that it was supposed to. So we'll see what happens with that tonight and also coming up. But tomorrow night in the All-Star game, as teams, as the two leagues vie for who will host Game 7 of the World Series and have home field. We are going to take a commercial message and come back. And when on the other side of this commercial message from Bob Costas, we are going to talk to Ryan Ballantyne to preview the Open Championship. You are listening to Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling on the Golf News Net Radio Network. And of course, as always, on Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes tough isn't enough. Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA has been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA is doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
We are back here on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling for this Open Championship Monday, the day after Jordan Spieth won another title at the John Deere Classic. And momentarily we'll get Ryan Ballantyne's views on if that was the right move on Jordan Spieth's part to play the John Deere Classic. There have been some very passionate views, including Golf Digest's Jeff Shackelford, who tends to believe that that was very much the wrong move. We will see, obviously, come 4 days from now, what side of things that ends up on. I do want to highlight the Barbasol Championship that comes up this week. It is the parallel event. It's a brand-new event. As some of you guys know, I write the reshuffle column, reshuffleless column for RotoWire. This is a week that careers can be born, and great careers. And if you look at the events that have been parallel and held opposite the Open Championship, look at these champions. Not all of these guys fell opposite of the Open, but just these are the last five guys who won in Milwaukee. Ben Crane, Corey Pavin, Joe Ogilvie, Richard S. Johnson, Bo Van Pelt. Crane, Pavin, obviously a major champion, and Van Pelt are all bona fide PGA Tour players. You can launch somebody's career this week. It's the same thing with Reno Tahoe. It's the same thing with Puerto Rico. It's the same thing with Mayakoba before it moved to the fall. Jordan Spieth has been able to do everything he's done because of a T2 in Puerto Rico. It changed his season as a guy with no status. It got him into Tampa where he topped 10, where he got special temporary membership. If you, after, I know it's a lot of golf this week, but watch the Barbasol Championship. It is going to launch somebody's career. Somebody. I don't know who. I have no idea who. But you look at a guy, let's see if Justin Thomas is playing it, obviously, after all of his recent near misses. Now, Justin Thomas, who has a card locked up, obviously can choose to take a week off and kind of collect himself. He is not in the field this week. David Toms is in the field. As I give a quick once-over, here's a way for Ryan Ballingy. Let's see. Blaine Barber, Stephen Alker, Arjun Atwal, former winner in Greensboro. Let's see here. Roberto Castro, Chad Campbell, former major champion, Eric Compton, who obviously finished so high last year at the U.S. Tommy Two Gloves Gainey, former champion. Jason Gore, who's done so well. Justin Hadley, who was the only rookie to win on tour last year. Let's see here. Smiley Kaufman, who may have the best name on the web.com tour, Scott McCarron, Billy Mayfair, Len Matisse, interesting mix of guys, DA Points, Martin Piller, who was the web.com tour winner last week, in Boise, Sam Saunders, Arnie's grandson, obviously, Roger Sloan, Chris Stroud, who played so well last week at the Deer, all the way down to Stan Utley, the putting guru who was playing on the Champions Tour last week, Johnson Wagner, who finished high up at the Deer, as did Will Wilcox, and the aforementioned Bo Van Pelt. There is a chance somebody's career can launch with a high finish this week at RTJ, the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail in Alabama. You're going to want to watch the Barbasol Championship if you get a chance, because somebody could be making a life-changing moment happen for themselves on the grounds of a PGA Tour event. We welcome in from the Golf News Net website and Yahoo Golf, Ryan Ballingy, our great friend, on to talk about a different historical event, the 144th Open Championship. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
I'm good. So let me ask you the burning question that everybody has been asking all their friends. Did you ever expect Tiger Woods and Jason Duffner to play two practice rounds this week?
That's a hell of a burn to a theory that came out of the U.S. Open, the whole Amanda Duffner thing. But I guess that flies in the face of the rumor mill that either it wasn't true or both those guys have a hell of a sense of humor, one or the other. But, for whatever reason, Tiger's kind of been on the string lately of not so much sticking into the press, but kind of having fun jabs at all kinds of different things thought about him. And so I can kind of appreciate that a little bit.
And you were the first reporter who reported that rumor. It sounded like it was a pretty rampant rumor at the U.S. Open, so it's not like some tabloid pulled this out of left field. It sounded like it was a pretty legitimate rumor.
Yeah, and I'm very curious where it came from, and not to continue the rumor mill, but now Dustin Johnson's name has been attached to Amanda Duffner, and I've seen that in Dallas circles around the time of the Nelson, and God knows what that means. I'm once bitten, twice shy, so I'll kind of shy away from that one. But, it was a very prominent rumor at the U.S. Open. I had not really heard of it until then. Obviously, I'm not covering the tour week to week, so folks who have been on the tour week to week have been saying, and I was like, wow, that's that's a pretty hefty one to put out there. And I put it out there knowing someone like an Inquirer would eventually do it. Just didn't say anything about it, didn't mention it to anybody. Almost kind of an SEO play, knowing what was going to come. And you know, from that standpoint, it paid off. But sounds like maybe there was no truth to it, or both those guys have a 1/6 sense of humor.
Yeah. All right, so let's go now to the question which everybody wants to know. Where were you at in terms of Jordan Spieth should play the deer or not play the deer?
I mean, no one's ever gotten this right. No one's ever pulled off the modern Grand Slam. So there's no blueprint. There's no way to do it that we know of. So if this is what he felt like was going to put him in the best position to win, then that's what he should have done. And I think for him, confidence and mentality mean more than form and knowing the course. And for him, that meant trying to get into contention, and that meant doing it in a familiar place. Just so happens that he won. And we saw the results of getting into contention, nearly winning or winning, going into the other two majors, where he got into the playoff at Houston, didn't win, won by a zillion. Got himself into contention on Sunday at Memorial, didn't win, didn't even get into the playoff, but had a sweat, felt good about it, won at Chambers Bay. So for him to get into contention and ultimately pull up the win in the playoff against Tom Gillis of the Deer, I think that's exactly what he wanted to do. So for him, it's mission accomplished. So we'll see how the results pan out at St. Andrews, but it's 2 for 2.
Which win was more important yesterday, Ricky's or Spieth's?
I think Ricky Fowler's probably. Obviously, players are probably still pretty fresh in his mind, only a couple months old. But it doesn't hurt to go into a major championship with a win. A couple of years ago, Phil did that and parlayed into an Open Championship win at Muirfield. And I think for Fowler, his game travels very well. He can play pretty much any kind of golf that you need to be able to contend. So I think he's pretty well suited for the Open Championship, but that certainly helps. And the fact that the last 5 guys to win the Open Championship played the Scottish Open the week prior, I think also tells you a little something. So why not like the guy who won the Scottish Open?
What's your read on this week? I think it was Adam Stanley on Twitter last night was saying how he feels like we're due for a random major winner. We really haven't had one since Darren Clark in 2011. You know, this is a golf course, the home of golf, which has tended to bring out the best. And we've been on a run. It's an interesting PGA Tour run. We've had a run, had a crazy run earlier in the spring of guys in the top 20 in the world rankings, essentially. And then we've gone kind of all over the place since then. What's your read on who you think will break out this week?
St. Andrews tends to bring out the greats. I mean, since 70, Nicklaus, Seve Saldo, Daly, who arguably should have won 4 or 5 majors had he not self-destructed, Tiger, Lou Eustason, who may prove to be great in the years to come, win 3 or 4. So I don't think this venue tends to produce random champions. I think it's hard to say that you can expect that, and I think folks at No Laying Up did a very good look at the current world ranking of the guys who have won basically the last 12 or 14 majors, whatever, however far they went back. And I don't think but one was an injured guy who was worse than 70th in the world, 77th in the world. So right now it's a pretty stacked lineup of guys that are winning majors. Obviously, Rory's on the sideline, so he takes some of the potency out of that statistic. But if you look at the guys that are chasing Jordan Spieth and Jordan Spieth himself, there are no slouches. They're guys with either multiple majors or a major, or have been awfully close. So I think it's a great time for golf in terms of getting to play this championship now at the home of golf. I think it's going to be one that people will remember for a good reason, not because some guy saved Tiger Woods in the 200s that's a random would win this tournament.
Talking with Ryan Ballinger, previewing the Open Championship. What When you sat down after the U.S. Open, you and I talked obviously on that Monday, and you know, you and I kind of debated, what kind of an impact this would have on Dustin Johnson. And Dustin Johnson, this morning in his press conference, basically said, "Look, I'm past it. I had a nice couple weeks off in Idaho. Blah blah blah." now that you've heard Dustin, because this is his first start back, now that you've had some time to think about it, how much scar tissue do you think is left?
I think there's plenty of scar tissue there, unfortunately, from four instances where he arguably could have won a major championship. I'm not saying he should have pulled out the 2010 U.S. Open, but you got to throw it in there as a 54-hole leader. I've never taken Dustin Johnson for an intellectual who dwells on things for too long. And I think that probably helps him in this instance, that he's just kind of a guy who's pretty happy with his life and doesn't really need to worry about a whole lot. So why should he worry about his golf game? And he has an extremely good Open Championship record. He has, I think, four top 14 finishes and six career starts in the Open. So he knows what he's doing, knows how to play this championship. I think this course actually favors him pretty well if he can manage to play up the right side of the golf course. And if he can just hit modest lag putts here and there and not make bogeys, which that's kind of his big stretch, why can't he win this thing? There's no reason for him not to be able to win it. So I don't think until you get into the kind of last three or four holes that you start to think about the scar tissue, you start to think about the things that got away. Because if you look at the things that got away from him, think about how far he got in each of those championships where he had a chance to win. I mean, he got the U.S. Open was unraveled in the second hole, but then the PGA Championship was the last hole, and really he should have gotten to a playoff. 2011 at St. George's was just a flare 2-iron on the 14th hole, and this one was on the last hole. So he's gotten into the wire. He just can't cross the finish line for whatever reason. So I think he probably takes some solace in those things, the way they unfolded, somewhat bizarre circumstances in a couple, that it's not so much him as just kind of the way life works, and that he'll get his due and it'll work out for him. And he seems somewhat defiant today that this was going to be what defines him, that he loses majors. And for his sake, I hope that's the case.
Talking to Ryan Ballinger about the Open Championship, Jason Day says that they now know the source of his vertigo, and while it could come back, they now have a game plan to combat it. He's been an interesting scenario because, you know, we always say, you know, watch out for the sick golfer. I thought that one of the reasons why he played so well over the weekend at Chambers was because his head had to be in a completely different place. If they do have that situation under control, he was able to practice, according to Todd Lewis. Here's a guy who I think would top most players' list, the best player yet to win a major, who's active and still in their prime, along with Sergio. What chance do you give Jason Day this week?
Not much. He just doesn't seem very well suited to Open Championship golf. He's got a couple finishes in the 40s and 50s. Nothing really all that spectacular in the Open. So I think maybe this is going to be an acquired taste for him, maybe something he can figure out later in his career, if at all. And that's just kind of the way he sees it. I think his best chance to win a major is a U.S. Open, maybe a Masters. I'd probably pick U.S. Open, then Masters, then probably PGA, then the British Open. And I just kind of see it that way. And that's not to say that he can't have four great rounds and win this thing, especially if this kind of softens a little bit and the weather's pretty calm, turns into a little bit of a shootout, then maybe this lines up for Jason Day. But Lynx Golf specifically, I kind of stay away from him and didn't rank him this week in our top 15 picks for the Open. So nothing to do with the vertigo, just the record speaks for itself, I think.
What is your position on Tiger, and what is your position on Phil? Tiger obviously had the great Sunday at the Greenbrier. He seems more optimistic about his game. There is a case to be made, I think, where St. Andrews can be like Augusta in the sense of you get a game plan, you can kind of blindly work your way around there no matter what form you had coming in. Phil, meanwhile, says he's fixed his ball strike and now his putter just won't cooperate. So much of the talk this week has been on Spieth, McIlroy's injury, obviously, and Ricky. What chances do you give the other big two?
If I had to like one of the two or the other, I guess I would like Tiger Woods. I just don't think – if Phil can't feel confident hitting lag putts from 30, 40, and 50 feet, he's just not going to do all that well. He's going to make three putt bogeys. He's going to make mistakes. So that worries me pretty significantly about Phil. And that know, you got to hit a draw at Augusta National to win. You got to hit a fade to win at St. Andrews. It opens up more of the golf course, and that is not a comfortable shot for Phil. So I tend to worry about that. The Tiger, he feels pretty good with the fade if he doesn't blast it 80 yards offline, which could happen. He's not putting all that poorly. His ball striking is pretty okay. It's for him getting in play. And he knows the golf course well enough, as you mentioned, two-time winner, that if he gets into a situation where he can just think about getting his way around the golf course, like you mentioned with Augusta National, you think more about that than all the mechanical stuff that he worries about. Think more about executing to a game plan than executing your positions in the golf swing. Maybe that works for Tiger's favor. I was surprised to see that Hank Haney is kind of big on Tiger this week and thinks he has an actual chance to win this thing. I don't know about that, but I certainly feel like he's got a chance to contend. I mean, I wouldn't put him in my top 20 or 25 guys to win the championship, but I wouldn't be all that surprised if he finished in the top 10 or 15 at the end of the week.
I'm very curious. We've had two interesting winners before Spieth yesterday since Chambers. We've had Bubba at the Travelers, which is becoming his personal playground the way Torrey was for Tiger and kind of the way Augusta is for Bubba. And Danny Lee, who put himself right back in the position yesterday. To me, guys like Danny Lee who win are now playing with house money. They have absolutely nothing to lose. And this is for guys like Lee who are not super, super, superstars. They are now playing with house money. They have nothing to lose. They have their job secure and can really, just have genuine fun with their games the rest of the year because they know they're safe. Who do you give more of a chance to this week, Lee or Bubba?
Danny Lee. I think you got a great theory. And he's played, that was his, 28th start of the season yesterday,
yeah.
Wrapping up at the Deer. And he's a brain fart away from getting a playoff or maybe winning it outright. So I think you have a good point about Lee. This is obviously his 29th start of the year. He's pretty tired, but he's got nothing to lose, and he can play loose golf like the kid that won the U.S. Amateur in 2008, 2007, and that won on the European Tour as an amateur in New Zealand, and that had a love for the game instead of worrying about making cuts and points and stress and all of those things that probably made professional golf really unfun for Danny Lee the last 5 or 6 years. And if he can harken back to that and think about those kinds of things and just enjoy golf and, like you said, house money, nothing to lose, why not? Why can't he play good golf? I tend to like his chances better than Bubba's, who tends to have a fairly defeatist attitude going into majors not called the Masters or PGA Championship.
I should probably alter my point just a tad, that he does have something big to play for. He is trying to get on to the International President's Cup team. So in that sense,
sure,
there is something for him to shoot for, but his job is now secure, which I think is the biggest thing off his mind. Who's got no shot this week besides Jason Day?
I mean, you could list a lot of guys, but good players. It's a tough one. I'm torn on Jim Furyk this week. I almost ranked him, but he seems to be very hit and miss in the Open, and he doesn't seem to play St. Andrews all that well. So I think I would say Jim Furyk doesn't have a chance to win this week.
And for me, I mean, it's the obvious guys. It's the Watsons. It's the Sir Nicks. But I, for some reason, my dad has this theory about Jimmy Walker that comes you know, just after the Masters, basically, once the Texas events comes and goes, like, his season's over. You know, his season is basically from the fall through the Texas events. And once they pass, that's like Jimmy Walker's season's already done. So I say Jimmy Walker has no shot this week.
I think that's actually a good theory. I mean, I almost think of Phil the same way until he won the Open Championship, was that, I mean, he plays for two events, plays for the Masters and the U.S. Open. Everything else is kind of, well, if he does well, he does well. So maybe you're right about Jimmy Walker, or maybe your dad's right about Jimmy Walker, but I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't do all that well. But he will play quickly because he played the last round of the Scottish Open by himself in like 80 minutes or something, it seemed like that. So he'll get out of the way at least.
That's interesting. Those guys can play fast if they have to. That's what's been proven about PGA Tour players. If you make them play fast or you give them the opportunity to play fast, they will suddenly become like us and play super fast. Who is your sleeper this week?
Tommy Fleetwood. Ranked him 14th or 15th. His last four competitive rounds of the European Tour at St. Andrews, he's 26 under par. So he likes the golf course, likes to play it. He's having his best season by far in the European Tour. Obviously, young career, he's only 24. But he had a nice finish at the U.S. Open, I think tied for 21st, tied for 20th, somewhere in there, which I thought was kind of surprising. And he's having a good year overall. The other thing I really like, he had a nice finish at the Scottish Open, I think it was T11. He was T21 at the Irish Open at Royal County Down. So if it goes to hell, then he can play pretty well. If it's pretty calm like it was at the Scottish Open, he can play pretty well. And he likes the old course, so all those things combined, it makes him a pretty sexy pick, in my opinion.
For me, and I'm just double-checking to make sure he's in the field, but I'm pretty sure he is, Andy Sullivan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Curious. Goes off at this time is in local time, but he goes off alongside Harris English and Ashley Chesters. Here's a guy who played well at the match play, kind of, you know, jumped onto some people's radars, and he also played well a couple weeks ago at some event, which I forget offhand. You know, here's a guy, we always see some European creep up on a leaderboard, who Mike Tirico has to explain who he is, and maybe it's Andy Sullivan this week.
Yeah, he's had a good season. If I remember right, he's won at least once on the European Tour, if not twice. That was earlier in the year, but he knows how to get the job done. I mean, I'm sure he feels a little overwhelmed on this stage, probably, but there's no reason to believe he can't get out to a hot start and just kind of hang around like Tom Lewis did a few years ago in what was it, 2011. And the other guy I would look at that really isn't that much of a sleeper, but maybe off of the radar, is Francesco Molinari, who I think has back-to-back top 15 finishes in this championship. He's played some good golf, looked pretty good at the U.S. Open, and has a good finish at Memorial. So I think in his last three starts, he's been in the top 25 on the PGA Tour and has a pretty good record in this championship. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Italian up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's your winner?
I guess I'll go with Chalk. I got to go with Spieth. I mean, he's in people's heads now, and it's pretty evident that he's in people's heads. You can see the way guys talk about him. Golf Channel did a piece about it today, very brief one. You can see he's in their heads. They know he can pretty much just win at will, and I think that having that kind of intimidation factor, not Tiger-level intimidation, but it is intimidation, and I think that means something, especially in a field without Rory.
And for me, you know, if he has a bad round and he gets angry, angry Jordan is a very dangerous Jordan. We saw it back at the RBC Heritage. He's got this vindictive streak, and I have no clue if all these people who are saying he should have been elsewhere last week played into his motivation, but he really seems to love to channel doubters for some reason, and he's the first guy to do it, and he does it in the classiest way possible. He won't curse, he won't scream, he won't act horribly, but he, you know, mad Jordan the same way Jordan was a dangerous Jordan. I think this Jordan's also a dangerous Jordan.
Yeah, I think so too. You have a great point about when he's motivated. He was motivated after the first round at the Heritage, motivated after the first round this week. When he's ready to play, it's game on. And he doesn't miss when he feels like he's got something to play for. Obviously, he has everything to play for. So unless he gets on a bad draw, I just find it very hard to believe that he's not going to at least be up there in the end. I mean, if you look at the guy who had chances to get to the third leg of the Grand Slam, most of them came a shot or two shy. I mean, the only reason Tiger didn't even get close was an 81 in basically a gale force wind, and otherwise he probably could have gotten within a shot. So this is not going to be something where I don't believe this is going to be an instance where someone who has the chance fades away. He's going to be close.
Whether he wins or not, we don't know, but I think he's going to be in the picture.
And that being said, I am going with Ricky Fowler. I was riding some flyers. I have a good feeling about him this week, so maybe he'll win this week, and then we'll be moving on to the Jordan-Ricky rivalry instead of Jordan Grand Slam talk. Ryan Ballingy, always great having you on Teeing It Up. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jeremy. See you.
We will see you back here, a special Tuesday edition of Teeing It Up tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Have a great night. We'll see you then. Take care.